accession number 30401, Mr. Ron Batchelor, Rear One. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Batchelor?
I was born in Ilford, 25th of the 10th, 32.
And could you tell us a bit about your family, what your parents did for a living?
My father was a lorry driver. My mum used to do cleaning, you know, to help with her family finances.
And how many... I've got
two brothers. There's only 2 years and 9 months between the three of us. So there's a year between me and my next one, and a year and 9 months between my other brother and my young brother.
Now, how did your parents manage on bringing you up on that money?
Well, it was very tight, you know. My dad was out of work for nearly 2 years when we was youngsters, and my mum used to go do cleaning jobs, you know, for ladies, you know, to build up a little clientele where she used to clean just to bring the money in, you know. And, you know, she always used to come along Barkingside High Street here late of a Saturday night to get the food for the family. And, you know, she had a very hard life, really.
So, but were you aware of it, or were you happy enough as kids? You know,
We was happy, you know, it was a very close family. And we knew that my mum had to work hard, you know, to bring the money in. Then my dad got a job, you know, lorry driving on sand and ballast. And
now, you were only, I think, seven when the war... Had you started going to school when the war broke?
Yeah, I was school before the war started.
Which school did you go to?
I started off at Newbury Park School, which is was just round the corner from where we lived. In it was Chase Lane then, it's now Perkins Road. And Newbury Park School was in Perryman's Farm Road.
And how did you do at school? Was it
wasn't very... Well, I wasn't there very long, because we went to my grandfather's. They lived at Letchworth, you know, the Garden City there. And that was when war was declared.
So you were evacuated?
No, I wasn't evacuated then, no. No, we went to visit my grandfather and grandmother. They lived in this new town, Letchworth. And I remember one day, a chap coming round the streets ringing a bell that war has been declared with Germany. And then we came back home. And then... my mum thought, well, my dad will be called up for the army. And so her and her sister decided to move. We moved to Seven Kings into a house where my aunt had the upstairs. My mum and our family had downstairs. Well, my uncle was called up and he went into the Navy. But my dad, he was... working on Ministry of Defence, you know, taking ballast down to Tilbury. I think they was building the concrete yachts and things down there, I think. So he got exempt from the forces. So we stayed there all during the war.
So you didn't go to Letchworth then?
Oh, no, we was only visiting my grandmother.
So you went to live in Seven Kings?
Yeah.
And how did... during the war, how did your education go? I mean, you moved school, I presume.
Oh, yeah, we all went to Downsall School in Alba Road. And that was me and my two brothers went there. But a lot of the time, you know, we used to get the air raid warning, so all we'd done was went go down to the ground floor, because they had very narrow corridors, and I suppose they thought, well, that'd be the best place for the shelter. Then we used to what we used to call silent reading.
So your education was disrupted by the war, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Were you keen on school or any favourite subjects?
Well, the only thing I was good at was sport and woodwork. But other than that, I mean, the last year I had at school was diabolical, really, the results I got. Because I was the last one to leave at 14 that year. Then after that year, they put it up to 15, leaving school. So my schooling wasn't very good. I failed the 11 plus, but being good at...
Hang on. Now, what about the war years? When the war broke out, what about air raid precautions? Did you have any sort of shelters?
Oh, yeah, we had a... I always get mixed up with the one we built outside.
Anderson.
And we had one inside Morrison. As well. Morrison, yeah.
So we had tell us about those two. Tell us about the Anderson first.
Anderson. Well, that was down the bottom of the garden where we lived. And we dug this hole and put the shelter in. Then we filled dirt on top. Then we built up one side. And then I used to have rabbit hutches. We used to keep rabbits. So I used to have rabbit hutches there. So that was...
And what was it like inside that?
It was very cramped. We never used to go down it very often, really.
Was it damp?
Cause a lot yeah, well, it was. Oh, it was damp, yeah. That's probably the reason why I've all got rheumatism nowadays.
And had your mum put or dad put up bunk beds or anything, or benches in there?
I think we had a couple of beds in there. I can't remember now, actually.
All right. Now, what about the Morrison shop? That's the indoor one.
That's the indoor one.
What was that like? Can you describe it?
Yeah, that was a big metal sheet. It stood about, table height from the floor. And what it was, myself and my two brothers used to sleep in there. And my mum and dad had the bed at the side. But it was very tight, you know, because it wasn't a very big room. It was about where that settee was to there. So Tommy get that
big, foot.
Yeah, Tommy got that big shelter in there and the bed at the side. It was a bit tight. But, you know, we got away with it all right during the war.
Now, what about the blackout? How did your mum do it or dad do it, blackout for you?
Oh, we used to have curtains pulled across. Then you had the stuff across the windows, like the paper across the windows.
Sticky paper.
Sticky paper, yeah. We never used to get many bombs stopped round. Though we lived near Plessis, they made the wirelesses and that for the forces. We was pretty lucky in that area, really.
Not much bombing?
No, not a lot at all. They used to have a few near Plessis at the time, but not very often. I think the worst ones were the doodlebugs, because you used to hear them come across.
Did any of them drop locally?
Yeah, we had a couple drop local.
What were they like?
You see this sound in the sky and all of a sudden it stopped and then you was looking around to see where it's going to fall. But I think one dropped on some allotments near where Plessis was, but there wasn't very many. I think the East End got it more than what we did, really.
What about V2s, any of them?
Yeah, well, that's... when the V2 started, that's when we was evacuated.
Do you remember the V2s?
Oh, yeah.
Were they like?
Well, you never used to hear them, actually. It was just the explosion when they landed. And so my mum thought that...
Any land near here? Or there?
I can't remember any, no. But my mum got a bit worried, so she thought, well, she'd have us evacuated.
Now, when was that then? 44?
That was... Well, no, it could have been late 44, early 45, I should think.
And where were you evacuated to?
Sheffield. We was only up there about 6 weeks.
Now, did you all go, all three of you?
All three of us, and we all stayed in the same house.
And what was your billet? How did they decide which house you were going to go to, you know?
Well... They just said, you know, you're going with this family called Randall. And he was a First World War captain. He was a very strict man. And they had servants as well. Well, she had one servant. And we drove her mad, she left.
what kind of a house was it compared to what you were used to?
Oh, it was a big detached house. I mean, he was one of the biggest builders in Sheffield, this chap.
And how did they treat you?
Well, he never used to speak to us much, the old boy, but the woman is, it must have been his...
He wasn't married?
Well, he may have been married, but this woman lived there with her son, I think she was a relation of his, a Mrs. Jepson. and the boy. And we got on all right, but, you know, the meals were very skimp, you know, because it was still rationing on there.
But now, I'll come back to it. I should have mentioned rationing. Yeah. Now, what would you do? I mean, what was it like being up there? Because it's very, I mean, for a London lad, which you were, you know, or Essex lad, it's very different up there.
Well, the three of us was all together all the time, even at the school. We used to go to Dore Village, the school there. And we used to get on well with the bus driver for some reason. And they used to take the mickey out of us in the school that, you're Cockneys, you know. My brother said, well, don't you hear bow bells on the wireless? And they said, yeah. We said, well, you're a Cockney as well then. But we got on quite well with them.
What was the school like? I mean,
it was a village school, you know.
They still didn't do very well there.
No.
And how'd you get on with the local kids generally?
Oh, we got on quite well with them actually.
No, but they didn't bully you.
Oh no. Well, there was three of us, so if they took one on, they took the three of us.
So you made friends?
Oh yeah. But also, he wasn't there long enough, really. My mum came up after about 4 weeks and my brother said, right, we want to come home. So we came home.
Still in 44 or early 45 then?
45, early 45, yeah.
Now, what I forgot to ask about rationing. Can you tell us what effect food and clothing rationing had? Things like sweets, they were rationed.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I can't remember how much we used to get, but never used to get many sweets. Rationing. See, my mum used to do so well with the rations, you know. I mean, we used to have a lot of stews, because that was, as I say, she used to go along to the butchers late on the night, get scraps from there. And there was always plenty of vegetables around, so they wasn't rationed. I thought my mum done quite well, really. So that's not what I can say. Clothes.
Or did you just not notice it?
Didn't notice it, really.
Now, were there any big parties when the war ended?
You know, yeah. My mum organised a street party.
Tell me about that. Was that on VE Day or when was it?
That was on VE Day. Then we had big bonfires down the road. I'll bet the council now, because when they finished, all the tar was burnt and they had big patches where the fire was.
Now, what was it like? I mean, what was a street party? Because they don't have them now, do they? What was it like then?
Oh, it was very good, you know. You had my mum and that made jellies and they managed to make fairy cakes and all that and sandwiches. Oh, it was very good, you know. And then you had lemonade or tizer, drinks. And we all had floppy hats on and bunting. It was quite good.
Yeah, was there any entertainment put on or was it just...
No.
No music or...
Well, I mean, my aunt came down, she played the piano, she knocked out a tune on the piano. Actually, she's still alive, actually, she must be in her 90s now.
So after the war, you carried on at school.
Yeah.
Now, you said they're very bad last year. Now, what were you going to do? You finished school at, 1946?
Christmas 46 I left.
What are you going to do?
Well, I wanted to stay in with woodwork, so I decided to do French polishing. But all I'd done for 6 months was make tea. And I wasn't very big, and I lost a lot of weight. So the doctor said to me, if I was you, I'd get an outside job. So there was a scheme going on where they had all youngsters.
Now, were you an apprentice French polisher, or were you just...
No. Well, I was only there a few months. I would have been an apprentice, but I left before then.
So what are you going to do? You lost weight.
Yeah, so I got this outside job, and it was in 47. It was a very hot summer. And this building company, they had all youngsters building council houses down Barley Lane.
Where's that, Barley Lane?
But that's at Goodmayes. Near where King George's Hospital is now, So what they used to have, they had one tradesman and about four or five lads, you know, learning the trade. We used to labour for the bricklayers, and I was going to be a plasterer.
That was, why plasterer? Not carpenter?
No, I just wanted to be a plasterer for some reason. But there again, I went to night school, but just before my papers were drawn up, I left because my mum wanted some more money, because money was very short still. So then I got a job as a plumber, or plumber's mate. And that's what the rest of my life was around, being a plumber.
So that now, did you do a proper apprenticeship?
No, I wanted to go in the army, because being brought up during the war, we thought it was natural to go into the army. So I didn't sign an apprenticeship. So I broke that off and went in the army.
Now, when did you do that? Were you called up or did you volunteer?
I was called up with National Service.
So that would be in 1950?
50, yeah. Well, that's when I had me medical in 50, November 50.
And what was the call-up procedure? What exactly happened? Do you see what I mean?
Well, they just sent me a letter to say, report to this place for a medical. And we had to go up to Wanstead, near the George Pub.
Now, what was the medical like?
Well, I don't think it was very strict. I was past A1, grade ones.
Why don't you think it was strict? I mean,
well, the one we had when we came out of the army was much stricter than the one we had when we went in.
Now, do you remember when you were called up then?
I went in 5103, which was the third intake in 51.
So what month did that be? March?
February.
February.
First week in February.
Now, where did you have to go to? Well, firstly, how come army?
Well, I wanted to join the Navy. But so they said, we don't take national servicemen in the Navy. And then I asked to join the Royal Engineers so I could carry on with my trade. But they said no. They sent me in the Royal Signals. Put me in the Royal
Right from the start?
Yeah.
Now, did you know why they picked the Royal Signals? What did they see?
I have no idea why they... They just said, you know, report to Catrick on this date.
And that was first week in February?
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you... you know, you're going down to the thing, you're a civilian. What's your reception like when you arrive? It's a huge camp, Qatar.
Well, it was then. I think it's smaller now than what it was.
Was it the Royal Corps of Signals Depot at the time?
Yeah. Well, there was different sections of signals up there. We went 7TR.
Seven
Training Regiment.
And what was your reception like when you got there? You know, because you're arriving as a civilian, and you sort of walk through the gates, and shortly after you're not, are you?
Oh, yeah, we were shouted. Well, as it says here in this book here.
No. Tell us what you happened to you. Don't worry about him.
Yeah. Well, as it says on that, as you got off the train, it says signals to the right, armour corps to the left. So that was what Ron says in that book.
Now, did that happen to you, though?
That's what happened. That's what was shouted at by, he must have been a sergeant down there. Then we just put onto lorries and taken up to the camp. It was very frightening, that was, you know. I mean, Lance Corporal was shouting at you and running up and downstairs and scrubbing the stairs with toothbrushes. I mean, that was...
That's not the reception, that's later on though.
Yeah. No, that was in our basic training.
Now, so there's a lot of shouting and bawling when you first got
there. Oh yeah, you know, go to this lorry, you know, and then they took us back to the camp, and then I can't remember whether we had to pick up our uniforms, I suppose.
Well, tell us about kitting out anyway. That's a good thing to go with. What were you kitted out with? Because people, I mean, it's all changed so much now. What did you get then?
Oh, the complete lot. We had the underwear was green, like boxer shorts. Then we had a big vest, a shirt, then a pullover. Then we had trousers, socks, gaiters, then our big boots. Then we had a battle dress, and we had a tie, like a woolen tie, it was a knitted one. Then we had a beret with a cap badge. Then we had a great coat. Then we had a 303 rifle.
So you got all this, and all did that, it all fit or any at all?
Well, it nearly always fitted, you know. I mean, they was all had different sizes, but then we had our PT kit as well, which was a vest, shorts, socks and plimsolls. I think that was about it all, actually.
Now, what about your room?
We used to get a housewife as well, you know, with all your needles and threads in it, and for doing your darning and that. And what else? Oh, then you had your battle things, you know, like your belt, your pouches.
Your webbing.
Webbing, yeah. Yeah.
Now, so what was your... were you in huts, or what were you in?
Oh, no, I was in a big Sandhurst block.
A barrack block.
Now,
what was the barrack block like? Can you describe your barrack room in it?
Well, it was like a big dormitory. You had parquet flooring. Well, no, strip flooring. And there was beds down outside. Then your lockers. Then we used to have to...
Any heating? Because it's February.
Yeah. I think there was heating there, but I can't remember it actually.
And how many beds to the room? You know how?
Oh,
about.
There must have been about 24, I suppose.
So 12 aside.
Yeah.
And what about? Did you have a corporal in at the end in a little room or separate?
It used to be separate, I think. Yeah, I'm sure he was separate.
Now, what we do is we look at basic training by a typical day and pick things up, you know. So what time would your morning start? Yeah, a typical day's basic training with the Royal Signals, a 7 training regiment. What time would they get you up about?
Oh, you was probably up about 7 o'clock or before that. About half past 6, I suppose, we was up. Then you used to go down to the wash house or at the washroom. Then you'd have your breakfast.
You didn't have to tidy the room for, you know...
Oh, yeah, you made sure your blankets were boxed and you used to have to polish the floor the night before, or... I mean, you were to bed by about 9:30 because you were so whacked. And then you'd have to polish the floors, then they'd have a scrubbing the stairs with toothbrushes.
Now, did that really happen? I mean, did they clean at that level?
Oh, yes. Oh, it was very strict when you first went in there.
Now, so how would you clean your room, you know, I mean...
Well, we used to have what they call a bumper, and you used to have to keep pushing it up and down. I think one of us used to stand on it sometimes to keep the weight on it, to polish it. Then you was there over the evening as well, polishing your boots, spitting, polishing, going around.
Cleaning the room.
Cleaning the room, yeah. Make sure everything was dusted. And
why the toothbrush? I mean, is that a punishment? That sounds more like a fatigue.
Well, I think this Lance Corporal, you know, he wanted to make he was in charge, so you had to do what he said. So,
so what were you cleaning with a toothbrush?
The stairs, scrubbing round my little toothbrush.
Yeah. So after you got up, you know, you tidied the room, boxed your bed up. What next? Breakfast?
Breakfast, yeah.
Now, what was the food like? All of the food? We'll take the whole food thing together.
Well, it was diabolical, really.
Why? Mate,
well, it wasn't cooked very well. And we always used to say, wait, let's get down the naff in. It's probably food that we didn't want, like, actually, anyway. It was probably like the pond potatoes. We didn't like that. And the meat wasn't seem to be very cooked very well, you know.
So, were the ingredients good enough? But just
oh, the ingredients
cooked?
Were good. It was badly cooked.
And not nicely presented, as
no,
I presume.
No, not like nowadays. When I go back down there now to Blandford, I mean, have 4 or 5 different courses you can choose from.
But then it was. Oh, so what would you get for breakfast, say? What sort of thing would it be?
Oh.
Difficult to remember.
I can't remember.
Or lunch? What, you know, what were the main meals like?
Do you know what? I can't remember. These were like. And I can't remember what the lunches were like either.
That's okay. But generally, it wasn't good. Now, you said did you use the canteen instead?
We used to go to the Naffy, you know, and we used to have buy cakes and things like that there. But it's funny, I must have ate something because the first month I was there, I put on a stone in weight. So I don't know whether it was because of that, we was probably eating it, but I think it must have been all the exercises we were doing. Well, you know, you built up muscle.
So after breakfast, whatever it was, what the training sessions? Perhaps if we start with drill.
Drill.
I'm sure you did drill.
Oh, we did drill.
How did you take to
that
drill?
That first month, the drill, I used to quite enjoy it, actually.
No, why? What was it? You hadn't done it before, had
no.
you?
No.
What did you enjoy about it? Because a lot of people enjoy drill. What is it about it, though?
Well, I think the camaraderie, you know, you had during the army, you never find in private life.
You think that comes from drill, though?
Oh yeah, you become like a big unit, you know. And we always seem to enjoy it, you know. You make friends.
Did you have any problems with drill?
No.
Some of them
we used to have, you know, used to march with his left arm and his left leg, and. You have a couple of those in there.
Did they? Well, who sorted them out? The drill sergeant, or did you help them, or what?
Well, I think one of them. I don't know whether he was trying to work his ticket, but he didn't stay in the army. They sent him home. That one, and he was a bit of a dirty lad as well.
I'll come back. I'll come back to that. Now, did you understand the point of drill then? You know, you're only 18. Did you know why you had to do so much of it?
Well, I think it was just down, you know, discipline, I suppose. That's the reason you took to it. It was the discipline. I mean, during the war, you was brought up with discipline anyway. We'd seen the lads, you know, used to go to the pictures and used to sit on the newsreels before you went in the army of these soldiers. And I think it just became second nature when you went in. Because we was brought up in that era, you know, during the war.